special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National alert.
Testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your hearts stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
Walk out of that doorway, cut across the hall, and walk into the wall.
And I was scared. I thought they was coming toward me, you know, because they acted like they was going to come toward me. And something like that just, you know, just freezes you, just puts you right there, you know, on the spot. You know, you don't know what to do.
There's so many different types of aliens. I mean, billions. As far as planets like Earth, there's billions upon billions of planets like Earth.
Shifted in front of their eyes. From a human form into a reptilian form and then back again.
I'm open-minded about a lot of strange phenomena.
For the past 2 years, a large number of perfectly sane and reliable people have been involved in this flying saucer business. Even those of us who have never seen one have become involved. We read about them, talk about them, wonder about these reports of strange phenomena in the sky.
From the heart of the Blue Ridge Mountains, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren, the show that explores today's mysteries and the groundbreaking knowledge of tomorrow.
Wanna take a ride?
We're gonna go on a road trip. That's right. A haunted one right here. To those of you listening around the globe, welcome to the top-rated Saturday Night Talk program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird. Where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it, we go in the field to investigate. It is September 24th, 2011. On this date in 1906, President Teddy Roosevelt proclaimed the nation's first national monument. It was Devil's Tower in Wyoming. Remember? That's the place from Spielberg's Close Encounters of the Third Kind. A beacon to the visitors from beyond. Hey, thank you for joining us. And now, let me remind you just how crazy your world is. We start tonight in China, because the Chinese, after 600 years, have finally banned their annual dog-eating festival. That's right, a 600-year-old tradition banned just this week after massive social media outcry. Believe it or not, up until this week, every year for this festival, 15,000 dogs were slaughtered. Can you imagine rounding up 15,000 dogs once a year, slaughtering them, to commemorate a battle fought in the town. Apparently, before the battle, an invading army killed all the dogs in the town to prevent being exposed by barking dogs. And after capturing the town, well, not surprisingly, the army ate the dog meat to celebrate. So from then, up until the 1980s, the dogs were killed immediately before being cooked and served. And then the Chinese government said, well, you can't butcher them on site. And so instead they would butcher them elsewhere, bring them in. And there were just thousands and thousands of people who would come to this festival every year and just devour dogs from every known culinary perspective. But it's hard to believe a tradition that old and so ingrained in the Chinese has now been overturned because of, again, that social media outcry.
Would a Shih Tzu taste different than a pit bull?
I think it's not too late to find out. And that does raise a question. I've thought about, you know, doing some wacky documentary where you go to places where dogs are eaten.
Right.
And you just get to the bottom of this. Because I don't know very many people who have ever eaten a dog. Do you?
No.
And if they have, they won't admit to it. Rob from Holland probably has. But I don't know. Sometimes you think he'll just eat anything. You know,
true.
So he's not very discriminating. But on the other hand, I don't know too many people in this country who have enjoyed a dog, and I that's good news for Yeva. You know, I felt like before when I was on the program and I was talking about going to D.C. when C. Eric Scott supplied this infinite meat fest that an angel lost its wings and Yeva and Alien just hugged each other and cried all night. So hopefully that's some good news that will boost them up a little bit. Well, hey, look, we're going to talk about some wild stuff tonight. It's one of those nights when we've got so much, it's going to be hard to jam it all in. But that's what we're going to try to do. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, The Secret Wisdom of Kukulkan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer tonight, Hardwood Forrest Connor. And I'm joined in the studio by a woman who was lucky enough not to be hit by a piece of falling space debris, investigator Shelley Wright. Are you in good shape, Shelley?
I am. I'm very glad to be alive.
You haven't burst into flames.
No, it wasn't supposed to be in North America.
Well, they first said it was not. I think it was on Thursday. They said North America is the one place that it's not going to hit. And then all that changed Friday, and they said, oh, it looks like it's maybe going to be North America. And then, you know, they just kept putting it off and putting it off. When is it going to hit? When is it going to hit? Supposedly, it's all down now, and it hasn't hit anybody. There are reports of these fireballs being seen whipping through the skies over Michigan and parts of Hawaii. But do you know that there is actually only one woman in history who has ever been supposedly hit by a piece of space junk? Okay, this is a documented case. It happened in 1997. So this shows you, you literally have a better chance of hitting the lottery numerous times than being hit by a piece of debris. This woman was in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Her name is, where is her name? I saw it, Williams here. It is Lottie Williams. And she said that she was walking through a park with a friend, looked up in the sky, and saw this ball of fire just boiling across the sky. And then it looked like a little spark or something sort of shot from the side of it. And her next sensation was what she described as, quote, a little tap on the back of my left shoulder. I thought someone was just trying to get my attention. And I knew everybody else that I walked with were nowhere near me doing that. I turned around and looked back because you could hear it hit the ground, end quote. She looked down and she saw this metallic piece of something that could fit into the palm of her hand. Originally, she thought it was a shooting star. And she started making some calls. Took it to the National Weather Service. It was analyzed, and it's all confirmed. This was part of a what they call a Delta II rocket. And it had just pretty much, like we experienced this most recent time, been kind of out of control, you know, burning back
through the atmosphere. And she said that when she talked to the guy who confirmed it, he was laughing and said, you know, you need to call the media. So she, amazingly enough, was hit by a piece that really was not in any way threatening. Because you have this image of, you know, you're sitting there watching Monty Python or something in your living room, eating a hot dog, and then, poof, right, you're just smashed by a safe-sized hunk of metal that has fallen thousands of miles per hour from far above.
What is this?
Yeah, and you're just squished instantly. But that's not how it happened for her. So anyway, glad everybody's alive. Have you ever seen anything like that at Wright's Coin Shop? Does anybody ever bring in some weirdo thing like a meteor or something that's fallen from the sky, Shelley?
They do bring weird things, but no, that's one thing they haven't.
Mm, okay.
Still waiting.
Gold and silver is way down right now, isn't it?
Yes. Excellent buying opportunity.
This is the time to buy.
Yes.
Because it will shoot right back up again.
Yes.
Yep, yep. We'll talk more about that maybe a little bit later. We have a lot that we're going to get into, as I said. And first off, you know, I want to give a little shout-out here because we get contacted all the time from people who listen to this program all over the world, and once in a while, you know, I try to take a moment to acknowledge them. That something that's really cool is when you get contacted by a bunch of active servicemen and women who are hooked on the show. And so I want to give a big shout out and much gratitude to the extremely brave and clearly open-minded people who enjoy our program every week at Camp Black Horse, Afghanistan Operations Base. And apparently they gather around and really enjoy the program every single week, and so that means a lot to us.
Yes. So do they listen to it live?
I think they usually listen to a podcast.
Okay, because I'd say it'd be probably about 8 o'clock in the morning on Sunday there right now.
An unholy time to listen to parts of this program. Yeah, I think podcasting is helpful for them, and that's one of the great things about living in this day and age when podcasting is available. So, again, we do not at all take for granted the hard work that you men and women do, and let me tell you, our thoughts and prayers are truly with you, and thank you for going out there and putting your life on the line to protect my right to sit here in front of this microphone and say all the crazy things that I say.
Definitely. Thank you, guys and
thank
gals
you
over there.
Thank
yes
you so much.
Yes. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to jump into, all kinds of interesting stuff. Speaking of the government, maybe you haven't heard about this. Probably not. It just popped up a couple days ago. You know, I was at the White House recently, and now there is a petition, an official petition on the White House that is shocking some people. And it's about UFOs. If you don't know about this, I'll explain when we come back and tell you why that today is a special day for a couple of reasons. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to the program where the unusual becomes usual. And you know what? A little bit later, we are going to have a haunted road trip. We're going to talk with Kayla Ambrose. She's the author of Ghost Hunting North Carolina. I'll tell you about that when we return. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. Speaking of strange, it's most interesting and spooky places. And yes, we have stuff in here like, you know, the Brown Mountain Lights. And there's even a whole page about my museum. In fact, a lot of people are going to the museum now. They want to see Art Bell's Alien, because I don't know how long I'm going to keep it there, honestly. Times are so weird, I'm not sure what the future is going to hold. But for now, he's there if you want to see him. And if you're listening, go to speakingofstrange.com if you have that access online. Join our chat. You'll also find a link there to hauntedashville.com where you do the tours, pub crawls, and all kinds of fun stuff you can do in Asheville if you want to come and see the alien and our whole museum. You know, it's kind of sad, Shelley. The zombie walk usually takes place around Halloween here in Asheville.
Yes.
Now, this is a time when people come from all over the place, and they dress up as zombies, and they wander the streets, and the businesses love it because they just make a ton of money. But I understand
you've
done this before.
Right.
But this year, it's not going to happen in downtown Asheville.
No. Downtown Asheville doesn't want us back for some strange reason. We had a fabulous time, but one of the organizers told me that they just didn't want us, and so Cinnabar over at the Biltmore Square Mall wants us, and it'll be a great big block party and just zombies galore, so we'll just have fun there.
It's just not going to be the same.
No, now technically, does anyone really want zombies?
Of course they do.
No. Zombie outbreaks just happen, though, don't they?
Well, yes. Yes, this will be a controlled outbreak.
If a zombie outbreak were to just happen in downtown Asheville, what would happen?
I don't know that anybody could contain it.
That's right.
Well, before, I mean, again, all that people would do, because I haven't participated, but I've been downtown while it was happening, people dress up and they wander around, and the whole point is to have people wandering through a city so that it looks like it's being invaded.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of people just dressing up like zombies and getting together in a mall, that's just a zombie party. That's not really a zombie walk, is it?
No, it really isn't.
So my understanding is it's become so popular mm-hmm. that they were expecting so many thousands of people to do it,
right.
Which is still, even if they have 5,000 people, that's minuscule compared to, like, Belshire, that the city just didn't feel like that the town could accommodate it, supposedly, during leaf-looking season or something. That's what I'm hearing.
Oh, and Belshire is so much smaller.
Yeah.
And...
To me, I think it's a mistake.
I do, too. I do. We all had a wonderful time. I don't know of anybody who didn't participate, who maybe they were stopped in traffic, but they had a good time. They loved looking at all the zombies. And
in this kind of economy, we need every attraction we can get, and that is something that doesn't cost the city really anything. The business owners love it. Maybe there are one or two business owners that don't like it for some reason, but we have got to support weird, off-the-cuff stuff in this town.
Well, we are weird. We are weird,
yeah.
Freaky. Asheville, this is what we do.
And, you know, I don't understand why that something that simple would not be allowed. I'm not even sure why legally it's not allowed. But there you go, folks. Apparently it can't happen in downtown Asheville. And you know what's going to happen? It's just going to move to another city.
Well, it does happen in other cities.
Well,
but
there you go.
People mention Asheville as far as, you know, the zombie walk. We're I don't know, looked at to freaky things like that. And I'm gonna really miss it not being in downtown Asheville, but it's gonna be a big old block party right outside the mall there, apparently.
West Asheville would probably work for it.
I think it would.
There are odd little bars and restaurants up and down the street.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's funny when you start looking into petitioning and you start, you know, questioning the power of numbers, how powers of numbers are handled. And right now, I have not heard too many people talk about this in the mainstream media. I've only seen rumblings about it online. But right now, if you go to the WhiteHouse.gov website, there actually is a link up there on an official White House page for a petition to disclose all information regarding the extraterrestrial presence engaging the human race. And I haven't checked it today, but last time I looked at it, over 3,000 people have already signed it. They only need 5,000 people to move to some next level. And I have a printout of it right here. It says, "We petition the Obama administration to formally acknowledge an extraterrestrial presence engaging the human race. Disclosure. We, the undersigned, strongly urge the President of the United States to formally acknowledge an extraterrestrial presence engaging the human race and immediately release into the public domain all files from all agencies and military services relevant to this phenomenon. Hundreds of military and government agency witnesses have come forward with testimony confirming this extraterrestrial presence. Opinion polls now indicate more than 50% of the American people believe there is an extraterrestrial presence, and more than 80% believe the government is not telling the truth about this phenomenon. The people have a right to know. The people can handle the truth." So, Mobius has got this posted at the Speaking of Strange Facebook page, which you could easily reach through speakingofstrange.com. And I have no idea if that could really actually go anywhere or not, but it's interesting, and we'll be keeping an eye on it. So I urge you to go and, you know, I guess sign it. And we'll just see what happens. We're going to take another break. When we come back, I'm going to touch on a subject here that I haven't talked about in a long time. And this subject only interests me when it seems really, really concrete. And this is a brand new report that does seem really, really concrete. Apparently, there now is a coroner in Ireland who has ruled officially in all the paperwork that there has been an official case of human spontaneous combustion.
Ooh.
Okay, a man just burst into flames, and this just happened. So they've examined this forensically now and have said, apparently this can happen. And when we come back, I will tell you all about it. And also, I have a story here about a real vampire. And it's a very disgusting story. Real vampires are disgusting. And guess what state it's from?
Florida.
Bingo! I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. WhiteHouse.gov website. We'll just see if it goes anywhere. Welcome back to Speaking of Strange. I am Joshua P. Warren. Here is a story from Ireland. I'm not even sure what a pensioner is. I guess this would be a person who manages the pensions at a company, perhaps.
Sounds good to me.
A pensioner whose body was found totally burned, died of spontaneous human combustion, a coroner has ruled. His name was Michael Faherty, 76.
A pensioner, an old person.
Oh, is that what that means?
I believe.
Somebody who's living on his pension. Okay, that makes sense. Well, it had to have something to do with the pension, I suppose.
Yeah, something like that.
A guy living...
Okay, a pensioner is a person who has retired and now collects a pension.
Okay, so he's on the receiving end.
The term commonly used in the UK and Australia.
So, this 76-year-old man, he was found lying face down near an open fire in his living room in Galway, Ireland. Apart from his body, investigators could find no other damage in the house. The coroner said it was the first time in his 25-year career he had returned a spontaneous combustion verdict, which is believed to be the first in Ireland. Now, this occurs when an object, in this case a human, burst into flame from an internal chemical reaction, apparently without being ignited by an external heat source. In most cases, the victim is almost completely consumed, usually inside their home, while little to no damage is recorded to the property itself. There have been hundreds of reported cases of death by human spontaneous combustion around the world over the past 300 years, but they're just now beginning to properly assess them with experts. So what they found that was this fire in the fireplace was not the cause of the blaze. That's what they determined. Okay, they said there was no trace of an accelerant, nothing to suggest foul play. Nobody had entered or left the house that night. That he was in the sitting room, and there was damage to the body, totally burned, and maybe a little bit to the ceiling above him and the floor right beneath him. And then that's just it. And it's, you know, the guy says, the coroner here said, quote, "The fire was thoroughly investigated, and I'm left with the conclusion that this fits into the category of spontaneous human combustion for which there is no adequate explanation," end quote. Now, from books I've read about this before, it seems like it often happens to older people. And not always, but often. There are even cases of this happening to animals. I remember reading about a dog that supposedly burst into flames. And it has been within the subconsciousness enough that even Charles Dickens, I believe, wrote about this happening in one of his novels. You know, it was fictional, but he had to be perhaps inspired by this idea that you can just burst into flames. Sometimes it seems like the person is near a source of fire, but they believe there is no reason to think that the fire leapt over and did this. And they burn at just unbelievable temperatures. I mean, it takes a long time to cremate a body properly at very high temperatures, and there's just no way they can explain this. Now, for a long, long time, ball lightning was thought to be mythical. And even when I was in college, I took meteorology in college, and my professor said that when he was taking meteorology, that they were telling him there was no such thing as ball lightning, but he had actually seen it once. He said he was in the gymnasium of his high school during a thunderstorm when he was a kid, and they watched this ball of light bounce around in the rafters. And so he was, you know, just at that point where he was being open-minded enough to say, well, I know it's real, and it must be a lightning phenomenon. So now meteorologists do acknowledge that ball lightning is a real phenomenon. It's just so rare that it took us a long time to establish a database to prove it. I mean, you got to remember, it wasn't until like the 1920s, I think, or the 19-teens, that it was proven that sharks eat people. Okay, prior to like the early 1900s, it was believed that it was a myth that sharks eat people. That's hard to believe, I know, because of all the seafaring that's happened. But there were scientists at the Smithsonian who had written books saying this is just BS. Sharks don't actually eat people. There's no evidence for this. And then there were all these shark attacks around the, I think it was the Matwan Creek in New Jersey, that sort of changed that. And now we know that, you know, people get eaten on a regular basis by sharks. So I think of this being perhaps similar. Maybe there is some bizarre mechanism whereby an individual can just burst into a hot white flame. I felt like I was going to do it a few times myself throughout my life. Most of us probably have.
Yeah.
You know what? When I was shooting Inbred Rednecks, the movie that I made when I was about 19 years old, and it was like my film school. You know, we got out and into Barnardsville and just had a blast and filmed the whole thing. And it's there. You'd be surprised how many fans it has. I was reading just the other day Joe Bob Briggs talking about it. You know, Joe Bob Briggs, the guy who did Monster Vision. And I remember one night I was on the set, and at that time I was really, really stressed out because, you know, I was wanting to get this movie made, and we were working under strict deadlines. And at one point, it was one of those days where, like, everything had been going wrong, and I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to get this shot I wanted. And I was standing outside, and suddenly one of my friends, one of the cast members, looked at me and he said, "Josh, your head is smoking." And I said, "What?" And he's like, "Seriously, man, your head is smoking." And he's like, "Is there a mirror around here?" And we found like a reflective surface. I think I went up to a truck mirror or something, and I saw it. There was a little strip of smoke just, you know, rising out of my head. And
where was the person with the cigarette standing behind your head?
No, really, there was nothing like that. You know, I mean, it just kept doing this for. It was probably there for several minutes. I watched my head smoking, and I must have been this close to my head just. And they would have said, "Wow, he really took this project seriously. He burst into flames when it didn't go well." But anyway, it's odd. If we can figure out where this energy comes from, then maybe that's something we can tap into as well. Speaking of smoking, now I have been on fire a few times when I've been in the sun. I do have maybe a little bit of a vampire complexion. But we've got this story about a real vampire, and it's a woman. It's a young woman, 22 years old, in Florida, and she did something pretty awful. When I come back from the break, I'll tell you about it. And then, if we have time, I'll give you just a quick bit of insight on my opinion, at very least, regarding this new data about particles that appear to be traveling faster than the speed of light, revolutionizing physics. You've heard about this far, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We'll get into that and whatever else we can. A busy show tonight. You know, if I have time, I actually have a case here of Ronald McDonald being in trouble, Forrest. Ronald McDonald and James Bond are both in trouble.
Same case?
Different cases. Ronald McDonald is a man in Reno, Nevada, who is in trouble over a murder charge, and James Bond is in trouble in England for kissing a schoolgirl. He was a teacher. It's kind of odd when you start seeing names like that in the news. James Bond did this, Ronald McDonald did that.
At least it wasn't buggery in England.
We're going to get into a lot of that later on. You must be psychic. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.